At 23 feet, 11 and 3/4 inches, the tallest actor on IMDb is Keiko. What film provided their breakout role? The answer to that at the end of the show. My name's Tom Scott, and this is Lateral. Welcome to the podcast and also to our three guests who have shown that just by turning up, they are capable of making some very questionable life choices, because returning to the show, we have Zyla Foxlin.
Hey everyone, thanks for having me.
I have maker and YouTuber down here as your description. Does that sound right?
About right, yeah. I might throw engineer on there, but yeah, I'll take anything, honestly. Creator of chaos, all good.
There is a lot of explosions on your channel, from what I can see. There's a lot of stuff that keeps going up.
We're entropy fans.
Last time you were on, how did it go? It feels like you got a couple of questions in there.
I think it stretches your brain in a really nice way. I really like these questions, so let's see if we can like elasticize our brains a little more.
That's much more optimistic than last time. So I'm happy you're back. Also joining us, artificial intelligence expert, and I am assured not having been replaced by ChatGPT yet, Jordan Harrod.
Not yet. I'm still here. I'm still kicking. Thanks for having me.
I mean, was it 2 years ago that we tried to generate an AI version of me to replace me? And it was
2 years ago, and I bet I could make a much better version now for less than $100. It would not be hard.
No. It's amazing how much that's gone in 2 years. Yeah. I just assume that soon this entire podcast will be AI generated, but...
Maybe it is.
Oh, God. Maybe I am.
Ooh.
And the last guest today, but by no means the least, Becky Stern. How are you doing? Welcome back.
Hello. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Last time, it was essentially the run through your childhood high school jobs with a lot of the questions. Should I ask if you have any jobs we haven't talked about yet, or should we just see what comes up in the questions?
Plenty. Let's see what happens. I'm cautiously optimistic.
All right. Well, good luck to all of you. I'm going to ask a series of lateral thinking questions that have been rejected by all the same quiz shows, but we got them for free out of a dumpster, so might as well use them. We start with, in 1993, how did Suggs from the band Madness putt a golf ball that travelled 1,300 yards before reaching its target? I'll give you that again. In 1993, how did Suggs from the band Madness putt a golf ball that travelled 1,300 yards before reaching its target? I assume that no one here has heard of Suggs other than me, because they did not grow up in Britain in the 90s.
Nope.
Okay. You don't need to know about that for the question, but Madness was one of the 90s ska bands in the UK. And Suggs is still sort of known as a celebrity here. He was a singer, lead of the band. You will have heard at least one Madness song in your life. You just won't know it was them.
And I'm sure I won't after this. How far did the ball go?
1,300 yards, which is roughly 1,300 meters.
Because
the accuracy required for this. Just one-to-one.
Hella far, as we say
super
in the science
fast,
community.
Super far.
Yeah. Nearly a mile.
Because you said it's a ska band, I'm gonna guess because he kicked it really hard with his super cool checkered Vans. Dramatic.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that he was in a ska band?
Not specifically a ska band.
Launched it with a trombone.
Did he scream so loud that the sound waves pushed...
Oh, that's ska punk, and several people who have this. As I phrase this, I realize it's too cruel, because arguably I'm one of those people. But several people who peaked in high school are now very angry at you for messing that distinction up.
Gonna be quiet for the rest of this show.
He crowd surfed. Did he hit it with a golf club? Did he crowd surfed it?
The putt is actually more normal than you might think for this.
Oh, I like the crowd surf idea.
I don't really know how far is normal in golf to be able to hit a golf ball.
Well, was it like a putter that you would use on like a putting green versus like a driver?
Yep, regular golf putt.
Did somebody then pick it up and run it all the way across?
That is the correct thing for a ska band to do. They pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. No one got that joke. No one in this call got that joke. And that That would have killed with a different audience. I was so proud of that.
I get it now that you explained it. Yeah, I did not listen to Ska.
The best jokes are the ones that need to be explained.
Just complete blank stares.
I think shoot it out of a trombone is not a bad.
That was great.
Come on, that's related.
Also, I would like, we have two makers on this call. Like, someone can make a trombone golf ball launcher for a ska band. I'm just saying that's an option.
Hey, Becky, what are you doing this weekend?
So it wasn't a launcher. Like, it wasn't like he putted it into something and then that something like yeeted it.
More of a joke than a trivia question, huh?
You've just described a lot of the things in this show. What did you say there, Jordan?
So it wasn't like he didn't like put it into something that like launched it somewhere.
Put it into a t-shirt cannon.
No, but you're closer than you think. And when you said a while back that it wasn't important he was in a ska band, it was important that he was fairly well known. A random person would probably not have been able to do this.
Was Becky right? Like, he like putted it into somebody's hands and they human bucketed it like down a crowd.
Arguably this was still a legal golf putt.
Was it down a hill?
No, that'd be the obvious way to do it. But you are correct. This was not a regulation golf course. Put it that way, Jordan.
I was going to say tour bus, something that's already moving.
Ah, you are very close with that, but. A golf putt for 1.3 kilometers. That's a bit much for a tour bus.
Okay, airplane.
Airplane.
Oh, private jet.
Any specific airplane that might come to mind, given it's 1993?
Concorde. Did he put it on a Concorde?
Oh.
It was a charity publicity stunt. It was the world record longest golf putt because in the time it took the ball to go down the aisle... Concorde was going twice the speed of sound, so that technically went 1,300 yards.
Wait, so for people who were born in 1996, what is Concorde?
Oh my God.
Same. Mm.
Ooh.
Okay.
Did you just get a what was Concorde? Because I just felt myself withering like the guy at the end of the Indiana Jones movie there.
I competed in a beauty pageant in which 13-year-olds told me that I was an old lady. So I feel that, and also yes.
Oh. Concords were still flying in 1996, though. But they were like being taken out of service.
When I was 0 years old? Okay.
I did go to a Google event recently where it was like a TikTok dance thing, and I brought my best friend and we were dancing, and one of the girls was like, so where, like, which TikToker did you learn to dance from? And we were like, we had to take dance lessons in a studio, like grandma's.
Oh, I'm glad there's relative versions of this as well. Concorde was the only regularly in service supersonic jet.
Oh. Yeah.
It didn't fail. It worked for a long, long time, but it was never really profitable.
Yeah, it wasn't cost effective. Hmm. There is one, if you want to see one, there's one on the, right, parked right next to the Intrepid Sea and Space Museum here in New York.
Oh. Interesting. Good to know.
It turns out most business class passengers would prefer to spend 8 hours in a very comfortable bed that lies flat rather than 3 hours cramped into something that feels like a Spirit Airlines flight.
That's fair. That is fair. JetBlue is like my preferred airline and they're acquiring Spirit and it drives me absolutely insane for this exact reason. Anyway.
So, yes, this was... arguably, very arguably, the longest golf putt in history because it was on a Concorde in flight. Each of our guests has brought a question along, and today we're going to start with Zyla. Take it away.
All right. An eighth grader loved baking, but kept mixing up his set of measuring cups even though they were labeled. So he came up with a more visual alternative design that made such mistakes far less likely. What was it? I will read that again. An eighth grader loved baking, but kept mixing up his set of measuring cups, even though they were labeled. So he came up with a more visual alternative design that made such mistakes far less likely. What was it?
I'm going to recuse myself. I know the answer. I've seen it.
Oh,
it's awesome.
Okay. This feels like a maker question.
Is it the measuring cup, like with just different levels and the visual things on it? That feels too easy.
No.
Are you talking about a graduated measuring cup? Jordan?
Basically,
like where it has the...
Okay, little, no. Yeah. These are individual cups.
How do you mix up your measuring cups?
Well, a third cup and a quarter cup are like all visually pretty close when they're in the drawer.
Right. This is the American thing where you're not just measuring out into like a thing that has gradations on the side.
No, but it's not mass. It's not a scale. We don't okay. do that.
No, you do volume for dry ingredients, which is weird.
Yeah,
it's great. It's a perfect system.
Wait, in the UK, do you bake with a scale?
With grams, yeah.
And they heat their water in a more sophisticated way, too. It's just so sophisticated. And metric.
Wait, how do they heat their water?
With a kettle, with an electric kettle and not the microwave. Do you remember when Ruth found out that you could microwave a mug of water?
Wait, who's using the microwave to heat your water?
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Sorry, there's just vicious arguments about methods of heating water all of a sudden. Me, I get two bare electric wires and just plunge them in and hope it works.
Well, holding them.
In fairness, I do have one of those ember mugs, so I just put water in it and it brings my water to the correct temperature. Not sponsored.
Whoa.
Also, just for my own safety and legal liability, do not get two bare electric wires and plug them into water.
No.
I don't recommend doing that.
You can do it if it's DC, if you're running through a DC adapter and you're trying to, and it's you're doing like electrolysis.
Maybe still don't do that though.
There's a tutorial on my YouTube channel that does involve, but they're not AC wires, they're DC wires.
Becky assumes all liability if you do this.
I've got business insurance. Come at me.
The producers and host of Lateral explicitly disclaim any responsibility for sticking electric wires into pots of water. You know the old don't stick beans up your nose thing? Where if you tell a kid, don't stick beans up your nose, they've suddenly got the idea in their head that maybe this is a thing they can do. I feel like I'm doing that with electric wires and water pots now.
So this is a kid who couldn't.
Are these like measuring cups of like one third cup, one half cup, one cup, things like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually one quarter, one third, one half, and one.
Okay, I can see how those would be confusing.
And then anything smaller than a quarter cup is like measured in tablespoons and teaspoons.
Because freedom units, and it's hard.
For anything like that, I would be using like a jug with like gradations on the side. So I wouldn't. So okay, now I understand what we're talking about. So this is just like a cup you can just put into apparently liquid or so, and just you've got the right measurements.
You scoop it like the flour, and then you can like scrape the top, and then you have your perfect like third.
But then
cup.
You also have to make sure it's like packed like enough, because like brown sugar is one of those things where it's like it has to be well packed and.
Yeah, they say in the recipe, like one cup, like well-packed brown sugar. But regular sugar, like flour's the only ingredient. Water and like honey, and that's all fine. You don't have to.
This is not how I bake, so now I understand. Now I understand.
Makes the whole thing feel very old-timey, you know? And that's what you like when you're baking.
Yeah.
That's not what I like when I'm baking. So,
so now I've like established what the thing is we're talking about. Okay,
yes.
I understand the question.
It is fractions of a cup.
Yep. So this kid made like a new set of cups?
Yes. He designed his own set of cups.
Okay. If I was doing that and I needed to mark out like half and third and quarter, and I've got like this cup that's like a hemisphere, kind of just a scoop, mm-hmm. what I would do is I would make them all one cup in size and then just physically block out half or a third or a quarter. And just like visually go, okay, they're all one cup, but this is a quarter, so I can scoop that.
Yeah, you're basically there. You are there.
Hey!
Yeah, yeah.
I have the problem-solving ability of an 8-year-old child.
So he cut out the like sections. So they're sort of Pac-Man shaped. And he is also, he's the son.
Wait, this is such a good idea.
Yes. He's the son of the user experience director from Microsoft India. So... must run in the family.
Okay.
Yeah. So the bar is set high. The dad is like, invent something already.
Dad's like, fix this.
Anytime I see something, and this is just, you know, me being skeptical and not particularly great with kids, is I look at that and go, how much of that is the dad doing the kids' homework?
I hope it's
none of it. I hope the kids go with that. But
me too.
But there's a part of me going, How much of that is the dad going, that'd be a good idea. Maybe I'll suggest it to the kid. But that would be slanderous if I suggested it, so I won't.
Cynical, Tom, cynical. This eighth grader's a genius.
Yeah. Have you ever judged a science fair in a privileged neighborhood? Anyway.
No, but that sounded like a threat.
I lived in that neighborhood, so kind of.
Yeah, so he designed these four measuring cups at the same height that were shaped like a quarter of a circle, a semicircle, three quarters of a circle, and a whole circle. So if the recipe called for a half cup of sugar, he would pick the half circle shaped cup. And I believe he 3D printed them.
This feels like such a good ADHD hack.
I just noticed that the source for this question is the dad's LinkedIn post about the project, and I felt
I feel better about my cynicism now. I feel that's a lot telling. Better about that's, my cynicism now. Next question's from me, and it was sent in by Harry from Christchurch, New Zealand. As German forces rolled into Paris in June 1940, the French resistance sabotaged many important military assets. In particular, five sets of cables were cut to slow down Hitler's rise, perhaps literally. What were they, and how did they create difficulties for the invaders? So one more time, as German forces rolled into Paris in June 1940, the French resistance sabotaged many important military assets. In particular, five sets of cables were cut to slow down Hitler's rise, perhaps literally. What were they, and how did they create difficulties for the invaders?
Telegraph lines?
I was going to say.
It can't be. If it's something double entendre about rising, then it's not telegraph lines.
Oh, you've started doing the thing where you clue into the question now. Like once people have been on this show for a few questions, they start honing in on things.
Also, I've watched Jeopardy, okay?
Cut five cables that...
That stopped him from rising. It's a balloon. Oh. Was he going on a dirigible flight? Stopped his rise literally. Oh, no, that would make his rise happen faster if you cut the cables.
That's the opposite problem. He's already all the way in up. The dirigible.
They should just cut all the cables.
Did I mention I'm dyslexic?
No, that's lovely. It's an alternate ending to, is it Inglourious Basterds where they kill Hitler at the end? Spoilers for a movie from 10 years ago. There's a version of that where instead Hitler is on a dirigible and they cut the cables and he just flies off just out of nowhere.
It's poetic.
So not that.
Not that, not no, that. Unfortunately.
Okay.
Elevator cables.
Elevators. Say it louder, Zyla. That sounds right. Elevators existed in 1940.
Did they? Yeah, they did.
Yes.
They did.
I once visited the first elevator, which is in New York, and they built the elevator shaft before the elevator was invented because the designer of the building knew that it was going to come along at some point soon. The technology was in place. So sort of forward thinking, put the lift shaft in there, but made it circular.
Bummer.
So there is still a one single circular lift in New York that they have to get parts for special every time.
There's a lot of elevators that need special parts.
Oh, yes. And I visited most of them for my YouTube channel at some point.
I was going to be like, the New Yorker has entered the chat here.
So it's not, I don't know, you want to tell me about. So it's not an elevator. Cables.
It actually is an elevator. You're surprisingly close there.
Zyla got it.
Why did they cut the cables?
That is an excellent question that I am not going to answer immediately because it will kind of give the game away.
Oh.
It is an elevator. You're absolutely right, Zyla.
Is it five elevators or are there five cables on one elevator?
It's five sets of cables.
I can't imagine it would go down only because, like, there's not a lot under Paris other than the catacombs.
That's true. Has anyone been to the catacombs?
I have an invite there.
Okay. Because you're only allowed to go in there. Are there tours or is it just people sneaking in illegally still?
No, there's tours.
Okay.
I've been on a tour twice. Honestly, it gets kind of boring after the first 15 minutes.
Once you've seen your first pile of skulls.
You're saturated. Saturated. They mean nothing.
Airbnb did a Halloween promo once where you could win a lottery to spend a night in the catacombs. And I think no one's actually made it all the way through the night.
No, thank you. I don't believe in ghosts, but I'm also not interested in testing fate.
Tall things in France.
Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower.
I wondered when those two things were going to collide. You've been working around that for a while. Yes, tall things in France. Why might they have cut the cables in the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, so they couldn't, like, put people or spies or or cannons. You can't put a cannon on the Eiffel Tower, can you?
I mean, nothing would stop you. It probably ain't going to be all that useful, but nothing is theoretically stopping you putting a cannon on top of the Eiffel Tower.
But they could still walk up the stairs, so it really just inhibited them.
It feels like putting a cannon on a canoe.
Sorry, a cannon on the Eiffel Tower is the best thing I've heard this week.
Where did the canoe come from there, Zali? You said suddenly putting a cannon on a canoe. I'm like, I love the idea because the recoil would send you at high speed.
I used to have a lot of fights with a friend in college about like if it was a good idea to put a railgun on a boat. And I was like, the recoil is I would put it on solid land. So that was the train of thought where I was like, cannons on objects that shouldn't have cannons. And then I went to boats and then I was like, what's a small boat that would not make sense?
Also, Zyla likes canoes. She's being modest. She's made more than one small boat.
It's true.
Do you like canoes? The next one will have a cannon on it. Don't worry.
We have and also several masts and a figurehead, and it will just be a pirate ship. It will just, that's...
Yes.
What is a pirate ship but a large canoe with a cannon on it?
That's just the large trajectory of my career, is just to build a pirate ship.
We have got slightly away from the Eiffel Tower here.
Is it the ammunition? The elevator, like, sure, you can still get to the top on the stairs, but, like, would it impede their ability to put big munitions up? They'd have to haul the munitions up, so if they were really heavy, like a cannonball or something, they can't. I mean, everyone's using cannonballs in World War II, but, like,
yeah,
you know, snipers.
It's a lookout point. It's a great place to put communications antennas, anything like that, and it is a very good place to hoist your flag. So just for propaganda reasons, they wanted to make that as difficult as possible. And yes, eventually someone walked up all the stairs and hoisted the flag, but it meant that you could not have Hitler standing atop the Eiffel Tower for a very long time.
Wait, so how many stairs are there?
Is there an elevator? I didn't know there was an elevator.
There is an elevator in the Eiffel Tower the last time I went. I mean, that was also in like 2010, not...
I know, I haven't been there since, 2004.
It's also a two-story elevator, I think. Like, you load on two levels and get off on two levels so they can fit more people up and down.
It takes 30 to 45 minutes to climb the stairs to the second floor.
And I think there's multiple levels and also...
Yeah.
One of the wonderful notes I have here is that eventually, yes, a German soldier did climb to the top. They did hoist the swastika over Paris. The flag was so large that it immediately blew away the same day and had to be replaced later.
I should have sent some French people to the top ahead of time.
So yes, June 1940, the sets of cables that the French resistance cut were the lifts and the Eiffel Tower. Our next question is from Becky. Take it away.
In 2016, a new mini golf course opened on Boscombe Pier in Bournemouth, England. At the end of the course, the player's ball would roll into a hole, never to be seen again, but nobody seemed to mind. Why? Well, I'll ask that again. Are you making fun of my pronunciation?
I love that you pronounced it like vermouth. It is unfortunately just Bournemouth because British English reduces every single vowel.
M-U-T-H sounds like mooth.
Yep. Every single vowel in British English just gets reduced to
Short sound. Bournemouth. In 2016, a new mini golf course opened on Boscombe Pier in Bournemouth, England. At the end of the course, the player's ball would roll into a hole and never be seen again. But no one seemed to mind. Why?
There's a lot of mini golf courses where you put your ball into the last hole and then it just gets saved somewhere so you can't like get it back and play another round for free or something like that. But I worry that I'm going to get this immediately, but if it's on a pier, did they just drop it into the ocean?
Yes, it dropped the ball into the ocean, but that's not the full extent of the answer.
Is it made out of something tasty for sea creatures and it attracts like dolphins and whales? Or something? Wait, actually?
Yes, it's made of fish food.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, that's clever.
That's so cute.
That's the difference, Tom. Most mini golf courses like reclaim the ball, but this one is never to be seen again by humans.
Wow. Oh,
that's adorable.
Because nice. The mini golf place where I grew up did reclaim the ball and then it roasted you. So that's what I was expecting.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It spent like 5 minutes giving you shit about your bad performance at mini golf.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Wait, did it like track how many times you'd hit the ball or something like that? Because I'm sure someone's invented that.
No, it was just a universal thing. Like, it didn't all matter right. how well you done, because there were two holes. There was the, like, hole where you actually got a hole-in-one, and then there was, like, everyone else. And they made the hole-in-one hole so impossible that, like, everyone got the, like, it there was literally a bird that, like, sat on top, an animatronic bird that sat on top of the hole and would, like, give you for, like, 5 minutes.
Wow.
You had way fancier mini golf courses than I did as a kid.
I was going to say, that's incredible.
And that was great for my development as a child, probably. Anyway.
I don't know how well this worked out since the place actually closed 3 years later. So I don't know.
Was it pandemic?
No, shut 3 years after 2016. So, well, okay, maybe that is right. I don't know. It depended 3.5 years. If they opened like in late 2016, that could be pandemic. But it says that the golf balls were made from 100% fish food. They would fall into the hole, and after hitting the water, the balls would biodegrade within 48 hours. And then when they were fish food. And the course claims to be UK's first eco-friendly mini golf attraction.
That's cool.
Hearing eco-friendly and golf in the same sentence.
Yeah, they're not usually going together.
I was about to say, in what sense? Like, better than...
It stops people playing actual golf. The last big question from me then. We've got one guest question left and then the one at the start. But the last one from me is this. And it was sent in by Chris B. from Greater New York City. I don't know if there's a lesser New York City out there, but if there is, Chris B. is not from it. A Scottish law from 1432 addresses the legal consequences of butchering an animal that one did not personally own. It also describes the evidence necessary for conviction. This gave rise to which common saying? Give that one more time. A Scottish law from 1432 addresses the legal consequences of butchering an animal that one did not personally own. It also describes the evidence necessary for conviction. This gave rise to which common saying?
For us also, or common for you? Okay.
Yes, you will know this.
Are the dumb Americans going to stand a chance?
Yeah.
This is, to the best of my knowledge, one that's used in America as well. If it's not, then this is going to be a fun 5 minutes as I find that out.
Can we ask what the animal is? Or can I guess what the animal is and you can say yes or no?
Is it relevant?
Does it matter?
Doesn't make a difference which animal.
That's a clue.
When my mom first immigrated to the United States, she like bought a book of idioms in English to try to like get more conversational. And so I grew up with like the weirdest idioms because it was like a very outdated book and probably from the UK and not America. And so she would just say things and I would be like, what? So I'm excited to pull out all my obscure idioms that might be from the UK.
I mean, to me, this is not obscure in the slightest. If it turns out that Americans don't know this, I will be surprised and shocked and also apologetic for wasting everyone's time.
Wait, so it's from a Scottish law about butchering animals that aren't yours?
Yeah, so I guess the British term would be poaching. I don't know if that's a US that's, one as well.
No, but...
Poaching is when you kill an animal you're not legally allowed to kill, yeah. Like usually in the wild, like rhinos and stuff.
Yeah, so this would apply to like if someone did that to a farmer's sheep or cow or to the king's deer. I don't know if that's a thing, but something like that.
It's like stealing because you're presumably butchering it for you to eat it or take it away.
Yeah.
So what idioms are there about stealing?
Wait, so this is a law.
Not my fish to fry.
I mean, we can list a lot of idioms with animals in them, but that's not quite where we are.
I always get a book of idioms for my like teacher's assistant in class if they're an international student, because I think that's the difference between fluency and non-fluency is knowing the local idioms. And it's really fun for them.
Especially in English, where half of the language is breaking all of the rules.
Can you confirm it is an idiom that we're looking to answer?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. You are looking for an idiom, a common metaphorical phrase.
Ooh, that's an even better clue because it's a metaphorical idiom.
I mean, it wouldn't have been. It is now. It wouldn't have been then.
I feel like I might know it, but I'm very much not sure.
All right, take a guess, Jordan.
Caught red-handed.
Spot on.
Oh!
Absolutely right, out of nowhere.
Duh.
Yep.
Wow.
The Scottish Acts of Parliament of James I say that the offender be taken red-hand.
Woo!
So
nice.
That became caught red-handed. Literally, if the hands were found to be red, that was the evidence required that they had butchered the animal.
That sucks.
out of nowhere, Jordan, wow. Congratulations. Was that just popped into your head?
Well, so because it was a law, what I was trying to think about was like, if it's a law, like it wouldn't be, you have to get caught. You have to be tried. And so it's not going to be like a for funsies thing that people do for like the lulls. And the only thing that I could think of was like a caught red-handed situation.
Yeah, literally the red hand means blood on the hands.
I'd always assume that that came from like killing a person, not an animal, but...
Yep, the Scottish law from 1432 is the origin of the phrase caught red-handed. Last guest question of the show then. Jordan, it's over to you.
So here's my question. Knowing he'll be on his own for a few days, a young man prints out a photo of his living room and puts it on the wall. What does he then move and why? And I'll repeat the question. Knowing he'll be on his own for a few days, a young man prints out a photo of his living room and puts it on the wall. What does he then move and why?
So my thought immediately went to like Zoom backgrounds.
Yeah, mine
too. That he's hiding something.
Because if he's going to be on his own, then he wants to make a mess, but he's preserving like this tidy state of his living room for his Zoom background.
Or the thing that he's moving is himself. And he's actually just...
Or his laptop.
He's just going off to a beach somewhere and he's just hanging up a picture of his normal room behind. But no.
So you're right in the theme and the direction of what you're thinking, but you're wrong in what is being moved.
What would you move when you want to have a bachelor weekend in your living room? I don't know.
I feel like I should know the answer to this, and apparently I don't. What
TV
do you want to
closer,
move?
The gaming console, the bong.
Thank you for all the stereotypes there.
I'm just speaking from personal experience, Tom.
The table.
Tom. The most illicit Tom, weekend possible.
The table with the flowers he's arranging on it. The thing he's dutifully sewing for his partner. I don't know. I'm just throwing in some other suggestions there.
Is it like a reference picture? Like he's trying to...
I mean, is this to hide, is this to cover a Zoom background or like a video call background or something like that for the printing out the picture?
No.
No, okay.
Because you can do that virtually these days, right? You just take a picture of the living room and then you don't print it out and put it on the wall. So the fact that it's printed out and stuck on the wall is significant versus just having the image virtually.
So is that a reference picture? Is he taking a photo of the room so he knows what it will look like when he moves things back?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he might be as like a secondary thing, but that's not the primary use of this.
Oh man, I'm at a complete loss here.
He wants to do yoga, so he moves to the couch.
Okay, so if he's on his own, it implies that usually he's not on his own. And like, is it a kid? Like if I was leaving, or if my parents were leaving...
Oh, wait, did you say young... Yeah, you said young man, didn't you? Or what?
Mm-hmm. Young man. A young man prints out a photo of his living room and puts it on the wall.
So I was thinking he's like 20s or 30s, but young man could be like 16, 17 with the parents going away.
Okay, if my parents were not... If my parents were going away, I would throw a party. I feel like...
Okay.
But he's going to be on his own, not throwing a party, right? Or is he on his own and therefore he is going to throw a party because his parents are gone?
The reference that I have does not speak to whether or not he's interested in throwing a party in the first place.
Okay.
Normally his father lives at home and the item concerned is a piece of technology.
Is there a camera? Is there like a home monitoring camera that's pointed and the picture blocks the camera?
Wait, is he actually doing the thing from the movies where you interrupt the security guard and you put a photo up on to cover the security camera? No.
That's it. The answer is that the webcam was overlooking the living room. So because he knew that his dad would use the house webcam to check in on his son, this young man printed out a photo of the living room, put it on a wall, and then moved the webcam so that it was looking at it.
Oh, that makes sense.
And apparently this comes from Twitter.
The questions on this tend to be like, this has happened once and someone has posted the photo of the son's inventive setup. So I assume that the dad got home early or something like that and spotted the that's lovely.
And the son posted this on his own Twitter account to say that his dad went to Vegas for 5 days and put a camera in the house. But apparently that ain't stopping him.
At the very start of the show, I asked the audience at 23 feet, 11 and 3/4 inches, the tallest actor on IMDb is Keiko. What film provided their breakout role? Has anyone seen this? Does anyone know who Keiko is?
I don't, but my guess is that it's like the actor whale or something from that movie about the girl and the whale. And I don't remember what it's called.
It's the whale from Free Willy, hence breakout role. You are exactly right.
Tall is a misnomer then.
Yeah. Length is actually the right word to use there. But IMDb does not have a category for length. So that's what they went with.
Is Keiko also perhaps taller than the tallest actor? Like, I don't know how thick with two C's killer whales are.
Three C's.
I don't either, but I feel like if you stood the guy who plays Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew, it's someone else now, next to a whale, I still feel like the whale would be taller.
How tall is an orca?
Well, while you're Googling that, that is our show for today. Thank you very much to all our guests. Please tell us where people can find you, what's going on in your life. We will start with Jordan.
You can find me at Jordan Harrod on all the things, and I'm talking about how AI impacts your life.
And Becky.
I make videos about making things, so you can learn how to make all kinds of things on my YouTube channel. Just to Google me, I'm Becky Stern.
And Zyla.
I also make videos about making things, and I'm going to steal Becky's outro, and you can Google me or you can find me at Zyla Foxman. Copying Becky Stern since 2015.
And if you want to know more about this show or you want to send in an idea for a question, you can do that at lateralcast.com. We are at lateralcast pretty much everywhere, and you can find video highlights at youtube.com/lateralcast. With that, it is goodbye from Becky Stern.
Goodbye.
Zyla Foxlin.
Adios.
And Jordan Harrod.
See ya.
I've been Tom Scott, and that's been Lateral.